A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's episode number 40 of the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. We love the game of rugby, but we don't take it or ourselves too seriously. I'm Tim. He's JB.
Hi, Tim.
And that there is Phil.
Hi, Tim.
Now, do you know the fact it's episode 40 means you're on, JB?
Is it working?
I can't believe that was a perfect introduction that time.
I don't think it's working.
It is.
It is. It's fine.
Turn your own headphones up.
Ah, maybe. There we go. Back in the game.
Episode 40 means that as of next week, iTunes will start erasing episode number one. Oh, no, it won't erase it. I don't know, actually, because I think it holds 40 episodes at a time. So, for posterity, make sure you go back and start...
Listen to them all, I guess.
...downloading, maybe listen to them all again, save them all.
Well, you've got 7 days till next podcast, so you can listen to how many a day? You're the big maths guy around here.
What, 40 minutes each?
Yeah. Four a day, something like that? 5 a day?
You can listen to
32,
most of them.
32 a day, then.
If you really commit to it, you can get it done in a day and a bit. But there you go. For posterity, burn it off, save it onto multiple hard drives so you don't lose it.
Download it over and over again. Yeah, do that.
But you can also get it on Audioboo as well, and I think they don't stick at 40 episodes. Anyway, there's been some exciting developments, not least the international rugby matches, which we'll get to in a minute. Not least... another amazing team entry into Rugby Oki from one of the international squads. And not least, we're going to pick a Spring Chicken 15 because it was the IRB Junior World Cup again and because there's been lots of talk about youth in the England football team and youth development. It's a hot topic at the minute. We thought we'd get into picking the best young 15 in the world at the minute. But we've got some important stuff to deal with first, haven't we? A fine, upstanding publication.
Oh my God. Well, I was on my lunch break, was it Thursday? And I was reading Motor Transport magazine, as I imagine you all were.
Well, yeah, I think I was reading it completely separately, completely independently to you, Jay. Yeah.
Winter tyres, do they really work? Do they? I was engrossed in this, and we actually made it into the Motor Transport magazine.
Yeah, incredible news.
Not just made it into Motor Transport magazine, that means in general, we've made it. That's it. The Rugby Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast.
Shut it down. Shut it all down, Tim. It's not going to get any better.
Let's go out on a high. Let's leave it here, boys.
Yeah, when we first started this and we kind of listed out our goals, what we wanted to achieve.
Well, we never thought we'd achieve that, so we never did it.
It was like the pinnacle, wasn't it?
I mean, yeah, the pinnacle we had, all three of us, on the front of Time magazine. But actually, it was just making it into Motor Transport magazine.
Yeah. Definitely.
Exactly. And also, particularly in the month of June, the amount of transport stuff which goes on in June, and we made it.
Yes, we did get a mention because, and I thought, which one of you two made the tweet? It was Phil. Well done, Phil. It was because of a tweet that Phil sent in a while ago, a little flippant comment about the fact Scotland had Malcolm written on the back of all their shirts.
Glasgow Warriors and... I knew there was something good would happen if I watched the Pro Direct final. People have been telling us for ages we need to watch it. And so when I did
it... Well, got us into Motor Transport magazine. Yeah. Well, more than you.
And we should say hello, Neil Back, who, it turns out, is a big listener to the podcast. And we found this out because we managed to get him embroiled in a bit of an argument with Rotherham Rugby Club.
Yeah, isn't Neil Back a secret trade unionist? Because he's lobbying hard for...
Fair pay for Dave Matthews.
We should probably just briefly explain. Basically, Neil Back commented on something that we were talking about on Twitter.
Well, London Welsh are looking for a new...
Team manager,
isn't it? So it's not even a coach.
No.
It's a team manager that they were looking for.
Neil Back got in touch with us and said, hey lads, it should be...
Dave Matthews.
Oh, he's team manager.
Team manager.
See,
I
put forward the Broughton Park team manager for that role, but wasn't interested.
No.
Does he not even got an interview?
Not even an interview. And that's with the Egg Chaser's endorsement.
Mm.
Anyway, so basically we've been tagged in continuously on every single tweet that's been sent between irate Rotherham fans, Neil Back, and various discussions about
his
pay.
Dave Matthews is a popular man.
In Rotherham he is, yeah.
I think, though, the thing is about team manager, you're always popular. Because what do? You give out sweets and Lucasade.
And stash.
Oh, yeah,
stash. So everyone, I mean, you've never been dropped by a team manager.
I was going to say there's an elephant in the room, but that actually might offend the person in question because half an elephant. But basically, JB's going to be getting married in 2 weeks.
I am?
A week and a half. Yeah, nearly. Anyway, 12 days. And I think this is basically the sign of things to come because JB's brought his betrothed.
She's so
Layla.
Starstruck by what we do here. She wants to see how a internationally acclaimed sports podcast is actually recorded.
Or so she wants to do her final vetting before she totally commits to signing on the dotted line.
Yeah.
Well, you got anything to say, Nas?
Anything Lee Halfpenny-esque?
Nothing. Who's your favourite rugby player?
Lee Halfpenny. There you go. She once thought Gareth Thomas was called Eros Maid. Because she saw Gareth Thomas on the screen and underneath it said Errors Made. So she immediately thought it was Eros as in the Welsh name. Eros Made's a good player, isn't he?
Right, let's get on with the international action. And I think we should start with the biggest result of the international weekend. Well done, Japan.
Yeah,
yes.
Well done, Japan.
10 in a row.
Is that right?
10 victories on the bounce. First time they've ever beaten Italy as well.
Oh, that's incredible.
26-23 victory over Italy. I'm glad we're all on the same hymn sheet about that. There you go. People who complain we're too Anglo-centric.
We are. We're very
Anglo-centric. Well, we are, to be fair.
Today we're going Sino-centric, yeah?
Yeah.
But it really is great news for Japan. Because we watched them.
They look good, didn't they?
Yeah, a good team. Like really well organised, really well drilled, and some fast and skillful backs. But Eddie Jones said recently, last few months, that not this World Cup, the next World Cup, they're targeting, I think he's even said they're targeting winning it.
No.
Which is...
I suppose you can target winning it.
Yeah, but I don't think it's achievable, certainly not at
the
moment.
They might get out of the group stage.
But they're worth keeping an eye on for the World Cup next year, aren't they, as a bit of a surprise.
I read a really interesting book once about coaching, and it's by a guy called Greenwood. And like, it's not Dick Greenwood, it's not Will Greenwood, it's another guy called Greenwood. And he's quite well-renowned. And he went over to Japan, and he said the players there are able to really execute complex moves, complex team patterns, but they repeat the same thing over and over again. And what they don't have is they don't have much individual nous, which I thought was quite interesting. And you almost always see that in the Japanese players. They're very organised, but they're not individually maverick. You don't get many Japanese Cipriones, for instance.
Not many, but then you don't get many Cipriones.
Yeah, I can only name one player, and that was that Yoshida, was it, who was like their all-time top try scorer.
The winger.
There's the hooker. I can't remember his name.
Played in Super a bit.
I want to say Broadbent or something.
There's Broadhurst.
Broadhurst.
Oh, yeah. I should obviously name the New Zealanders and English expats.
But it's that when we watched him, it was the fullback that we were really impressed by.
Yeah. Yeah. A few good players. That Broadhurst was playing seven. He's not been playing in these recent games.
Italy, on the other hand, are going in the other direction. Eight out of eight defeats in this calendar year so far. All of the Six Nations games they lost, Fiji, Samoa and Japan, they've lost two now.
And the weird thing is about Italy, they might be going in the opposite direction, but for a club like, say, Treviso, who we don't really rate, a lot of their players are going to big clubs. Well, I say a lot of them, three of them have gone to Leicester. I can't really call which way Italian rugby is going.
And they're getting better in the Rabo Pro Direct as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. Is there a curse of the good stash this year? Because France's kit is beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
They've struggled. Leicester, their home kit, was a thing of beauty, and they didn't have the season that they wanted.
Yeah.
Stash of the beautiful curse. Curse of the beautiful stash, indeed.
Mm.
Right then, let's get on to this. If you listen to the episode where Ulster's Jared Payne got a red card in the Heineken Cup, was that against Sarries?
It was against Sarries.
And JB had meltdown.
Biggest miscarriage of justice since the Birmingham Five.
He had a meltdown, and it's quite entertaining to listen back to that podcast. I would recommend it. But this could be Jared Payne Mark 2. I'm going to say two words, and light the touch paper and let JB go. Steve Walsh.
Right, okay. Let me say this about Steve Walsh. Now, I was watching the game, and I even put out
a tweet. If you're not aware, this is Wales, South Africa.
Yeah, Wales on the verge of a historic win against South Africa. Now, before I just delve into this, I just want to ask a quick question, which is, you've been a ref, you're a qualified ref, you're an avid watcher and an avid rule follower, probably your two favourite things, watching rugby and following rules.
Laws,
very high.
Now, if you watch a ruck, and there's an infringement, or say there's two infringements, which one do you penalise?
Say what the two infringements are.
Just two infringements.
Like a knock-on or a penalty?
So, like, yeah, one guy's off his feet, the other guy's holding on, that kind of thing.
In that scenario,
or the wrong side.
You generally go for the one that happened first.
Yeah, I would agree. I say, well, there's two ways I look at it.
Unless one is, like, serious enough to then reverse it.
Yeah, so I would say, generally speaking, I go for the first one. But otherwise, I would probably go for the most obvious one. So if there's a really obvious thing, which I know to referee, I would do that. Or I'd go for the first one, right? Well, it struck me watching the game, and I will put my hands up because I even tweeted this. I said, every Welsh player needs to buy Steve Walsh at least two drinks and compliment him on his lovely tattoo. Because what was actually happening is it wasn't really about the game. It was about Steve Walsh's weird interpretation of the game and making him the centre of all things rugby. So I was watching.
He's a dashing man, though, isn't he?
He's not a dashing man. He's an idiot, right? So
let's find out. I bet he's Layla's favourite referee. Do you like Steve Walsh? I'll get a picture of Steve Walsh up. Sorry, you carry on, Jay.
Yeah. So it's not about the rules of Steve Walsh. It's not about the laws. It's not about the integrity or letting the boys play. It's about Steve Walsh because I was watching this game. And
sorry, hold on, Layla.
He's all right.
He's an alcoholic.
former alcoholic.
Former alcoholic.
Reformed. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh God. So actually, Welsh team, don't buy him a drink because you'll probably relapse and start trashing a bar. So he just makes these awful decisions. So I was watching it, and a couple of times Welsh lads were on the wrong side. I thought, oh God, penalty to Wales here. And next thing you know, the arm would go the other way, and then. When we scored the try, when it was the hooker going over.
Ken Owens, yeah.
Now, every part of me wanted that to be a try, but it was not a try. There was no way that was a try.
I thought that was really sensible refereeing.
I agree. And then what he said? Yeah, because I'll tell you why it's sensible refereeing. Because he said, "I need to see that in game, not real speed, because it's a real speed game."
Yeah.
So it was the wrong decision, right? Because a lot of people would say slow mo. Let's have a look at the. A lot of people would do that, but he used common sense. I thought fair play, Steve Walsh, letting the boys play.
He went. It wasn't. Well, no. Exactly. I was going to say that was. I thought that was really sensible. When it was slowed down, it looked more obvious one way or the other than it was. And looked at when you look at it at full speed, it looked a cert try. Go for it.
I personally thought he lost control of the ball. Right? So then we come to Liam Williams. Finally, we've all been waiting for Liam Williams.
Wales are 30 points to 24 up, 6 points up with 3 minutes
left. And the only way that this could go wrong is if Liam Williams commits a foul so atrocious it's a penalty try. And heaven forbid, he commits a foul and it's a penalty try. Now, you're playing this game at real-time speed, fast speed. What he did wasn't illegal. Or if it was illegal, there are hundreds of examples throughout a season where these things aren't illegal. If you play at real speed, you probably aren't going to say, oh, okay, fine. And furthermore, does he watch it at match speed? No, he doesn't watch it at match speed. He decides the best thing to do is to watch his thing in slow motion. Which is it, Steve? Is it slow motion or is it real time?
I think real time or slow motion, if you get the right angle, that was...
But it's not, though, is it? It can't be one and then the other. It's
Watch that in real time or in slow motion. It is a dreadful, dreadful foul. It's definitely a penalty try.
He tackles him with his chest. It's not even a shoulder, it's a chest.
No, he had his arm tucked in like a chicken wing and he gave the shoulder.
I think he's going to tackle, he gets a bit scared, he pulls out and he goes to protect himself. Anyway, it's not a penalty try.
I'm just going to come to Steve Walsh's defence. I think he got the big calls right. Let's actually do what any honest team would do and actually just rewind 71 minutes on the clock and Wales are two scores up.
Yeah.
In 9 minutes, they should never lose to South Africa. But more's the point, Liam Williams did not need to do that in order to get the player into touch. Had he done a legitimate tackle, he was
there. Might have missed the kick as well.
He might have missed the kick, exactly. Even if they scored the try.
Exactly.
I mean, look,
it was completely foolish.
The way to get rid of this is the same way to get rid of the knock-on. That's to get rid of it. I just allow them to shoulder barge. It's getting ridiculous.
No.
Why?
Because that's one of the most dangerous things I've seen in rugby field for a long time, that tackle.
No, it was not.
Yes, it was.
No, it was not.
Yes, it was.
It wasn't dangerous. If it was dangerous, he wasn't injured. I tell you what, the ultimate test, right, would be if he hadn't blown his whistle, go up to Victor Matfield, right, and ask Victor Matfield, would you like to go to the video ref or anything? He wouldn't even be able to think of what you go to the video ref for. You go, yeah, good tackle.
Yeah, but that's why you've got the assistant referees who were there.
It's so irritating. So,
there's a big difference between someone who makes a decision you don't like and someone who makes a wrong decision.
No, I actually agree. It is, like with Jarrod Payne, that's just ridiculous. But in this case, I can see where the law says you've got to wrap the arms, and he didn't wrap the arms.
The point is, let's just go back a bit. Liam Williams, it should be him that the blame is hung around the shoulders of, not Steve Walsh, because he didn't need to make that tackle.
But Steve Walsh has to be consistent. I mean, it's all about Steve Walsh, and that's exactly why he gave the try. Just let the boys play. Let the boys play.
You should change your mantra from "let the boys play" to "let Wales win."
Look, just let the boys play. I mean, if he came across with a huge swinging arm and took off his head, okay, high tackle. That's pretty rubbish. He didn't. He did what a lot of players would do.
He lost the game, and it was the right call from the referee.
And then Wales bottled it at the end by not making enough ground. I mean, they needed to spin it wide to get the field position, to bring it back in for bigger, not to kick it from the halfway line. What a disaster.
They didn't have anything left in the tank then, did they?
I don't care. Knock it on then. Knock it on. But don't give it to bigger for the impossible
for
kick.
50 yards.
Yeah.
It's a gallant effort, but once again, we've got another Northern Hemisphere gallant loser. And
I was going to say, and a whitewash against the big three as well.
Yeah. And we could have taken them. They're not better than us.
Not the case for Scotland, though. Well done, Vern Cotter. He must be going, what's all this? What's everyone going on about?
This
Scotland?
Is a great team.
This is fine. This is easy.
It's easier than when I coached Clermont.
3 from 3. I think Vern Cotter's honeymoon period is going to end rather abruptly, isn't it?
Is Steve Walsh refereeing him next up?
Against South Africa.
I don't know, but yeah, they're playing South Africa on Saturday.
Good luck.
Good luck, Scotland.
Are they just going to fly there? Like, leave the plane engines on, play, and then just get back on the... I mean, how does this work?
They'll be as fast as they possibly can.
Yeah.
Because they've played... So this will be 3 weeks, or possibly 4 weeks, and 3 games on 3 different continents. They played the USA in America.
Yeah.
They played Argentina in Argentina. Now they're playing South Africa in South Africa.
Wow, that's a hell of a tour, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of travelling.
And then we come to England. Now, I thought we'd do this in a stocks and shares fashion. It was a suggestion that came through on Twitter, so I thought, yeah, we'll go with that. So, JB is a financial advisor.
I am.
For a day job. And so, using stocks and shares and good financial planning as your basis, let's analyse, at the end of a 3-match series against the world champions New Zealand, whose stocks have risen, whose stocks have fallen. How are England shaping up after those 3 matches?
Well, has anyone risen after that last game? That'd be the first thing. Are we in the middle of an England recession?
Probably Rob Webber. He from where he was before the tour.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's now actually sort of considered, I think, quite a trusted hooker in the three or four hookers that are in the mix.
I think in that one game, I think everyone went backwards.
I think probably Ben Young's made a good account of himself.
Yes, that's true, actually, because he had some question marks after his recent form.
And Tuilagi was his usual self.
But I thought Tuilagi was a bit quiet, you know.
He was left horribly out of position by the people inside him.
Do you think Tuilagi would make a good winger with a bit more space? It's a joke, Phil. It was just a joke. It's just a joke. Because he did nothing in centres.
Well, when you get a no ball and you're... Defensively, he was left wanting by Eastman and Burns all the time. They were right, out of position badly.
You know backs play, Phil. You've just sort of half answered it there, but you know backs play. You were, you know, wing fullback. You played a bit of centre. So how much was it? Because it happened in all the tests, really. No matter what centre combination was there, that England was sort of cut open in the centres. To what extent is it New Zealand just cutting amazing lines and having great distribution, and to what extent is it that England players are a bit naive?
In that final test, the first couple of Surveyor tries and the what would have been his hat-trick but was given forward was, in my opinion, Burns and Eastman just got way too narrow. They were both marking one man, and it just meant that Tuilagi was trying to mark three men and Ashton was rushing up, like flying up like Saracens do.
Mm.
But he was dog-legged. And so you've got Tuilagi and then Mike Brown trying to cover three men, and you just can't do it. It was all because, in my opinion, Burns and Eastman were just too narrow, just way too narrow.
It's interesting because half-time, I'm not sure if they were too narrow or they're just all at sea completely, because half-time they're pointing out that the gap between Burns and Eastman, I think it was Burns and Eastman, was just too massive. Ah,
It varied at different times.
Sorry, they were too narrow between Burns and Eastman, and a huge gap towards Tuilagi.
Yeah,
so that stacks up, and they showed that a few times.
Yeah.
Poor Eastman, because he had a great first test, and then...
Yeah, I know. I felt sorry for him. I read... it was the Telegraph's player ratings, and they gave Eastman a 2 out of 10, which was I think that was very harsh.
Agreed.
Because he tackled well, albeit his positioning wasn't great, but he didn't have anything to do with ball in hand or anything like that, and he got taken off after 40 minutes, so he couldn't have done anything.
I think with Eastman, he's such a special talent that you kind of got to build a game plan around him. I don't think you can just plug him in as a direct replacement for Brad Barrett or Billy Twelve Trees.
Suddenly, whereas it was like, wow, look at all these options Stuart Lancaster's got. Now there's a big question mark in the centre pairing, isn't there, again?
I still think that Twelve Trees Tuilagi would be the first choice when Twelve Trees is fit. Don't forget, he hadn't played for 8 weeks or so before the last match.
So in terms of financial, like England centres, in terms of like financial, they're not a totally toxic asset, are they?
They're all small cap equities, which are tremendously volatile.
Well, Danny Cipriani, he'd be like a Bitcoin maybe, because he suddenly jumped up.
I think he's a bit more steady than Bitcoin. I actually think the ones that are most volatile are Eastman, Youngs, because he played well, but he has had some stinkers recently. Burns, volatile equities, which aren't recommended for any pensioner. Not suitable for pensioners.
Yard as well, certainly not last game.
Yeah. How raw is Yard?
Yeah. Well, twice for tries when Curry James
cut inside him. I was going to say, he'll be pretty raw after taking it from Surveyor the whole match.
Well, if he was a stock, he'd be some sort of tech stock run by two, some sort of stock which makes apps run by two kids that have no idea what they're doing but getting loads of cash in a Porsche. So
he's got some awesome raw abilities.
I think he might be in the category of too talented to be good. Like, his running is so good.
It's so
But will
good.
He bother learning the rest of it?
Mm.
Yeah, he's young. He's
really
young.
He is.
Yeah.
He's really young.
Mike Brown as well, unfortunately.
Oh, Stuart Barnes. Well done, Stuart Barnes.
What?
Mike Brown's carrying a ball and he dummies and goes, because Stuart Barnes said something like, Mike Brown thinks he can get away with that style in the Premiership, and even Six Nations and European Cup, but this style for the very, very best just won't work. So what is Mike Brown's option then, Stuart? Just to reinvent himself? Become, I don't know, Matt Perry? Become Mills Molina? Just the most inane, boring commentary I've ever heard.
I think we mentioned on last week's podcast, you said he was sort of carrying a knock. It's been a long season.
He just doesn't look good.
He just doesn't look the player that was in the Six Nations at all.
No. And even before the Six Nations, last couple of years for Harlequins, when he played in the Autumn Internationals, he got Man of the Tour, got Man of the Six Nations, and he's not fully fit.
He can't be.
Definitely.
The drop-off is huge.
Yeah.
What's happened to Foden? Is he injured? Is he just there for a holiday, or fishing?
He's not injured, just there as part of the squad. He played on the wing in the midweek game against the Crusaders.
Oh, I would have started Foden, but just to give Mike Brown a rest.
Yeah.
Not because I think he's any good. And how about Goode? Is he knocking about?
I think he travelled after the Premiership final.
So why are they putting Mike Brown through the mill when he's? I mean, second test, I'm sure he was limping. Why don't you rest him?
Yeah, it would have been nice to rest him and give someone else a go.
Yeah, it's one more game, isn't it? And he has been England's best player in the last.
Oh, completely agree. Yeah. But I just don't really think it's fair because the looking back at it, you're not going to think, oh, Mike Brown can cut it against the best teams and the rest of it.
Yeah,
because he's just not fit. They rested him for the second test, maybe bring him in for the third, but he was in doubt for the first. Never mind all three of them.
Up front, England fared a bit better than in the backs. They seem to be pretty competitive.
Mm. Yeah,
over the course of the three tests.
Scrums are solid. Driving mauls, like you said, I think it was last week, Tim, they're both defence and attack were good. Yeah. They're getting good go forward and holding the New Zealand driving maul off. But if New Zealand are going to beat you, it's not really going to be driving mauls, is it?
No,
not so much. No. They're just so good. They're just so quick. I don't actually even sure if they're all that good. Maybe it's kind of like, you know, they say that the Yankees beat you because they're in stripes or whatever it is. Yeah. It's just the kit. I mean, you know, oh God, can't win this.
No, they're pretty good.
Pretty good. And they've got some pretty awesome young players coming through. I mean, there was, well, Ben Smith. Just, I mean, in terms of stocks rising, is there what would that be? What would Ben Smith be in stock terms? Because he's just like relatively new, but looks solid, stable, and surpassing anyone's performance.
That's an interesting. That's an interesting question.
I mean, whoever's running the Ben Smith hedge fund is just made
kind of like an Amazon. So something like that. Yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty good, and he looks like an accountant.
Fekitoa as well.
Yeah,
looks like a real talent.
Yeah.
To come in to a match of that intensity and just look totally at home.
Who did he replace?
Conrad Smith.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did Conrad Smith play second test?
Yeah. Yeah. He started the first two tests.
Is he injured?
He was for this test.
Oh dear.
Well, no, just you've got a player like Conrad Smith and you've got this lad who just comes in first test.
And the competition,
I'm here, no worries, chill out, it's all fine. I've got this.
The competition in that squad is ferocious. Like, they started with Cruden, but everyone wanted Bowden Barrett. And
Carter's just played his first couple of games back as well.
Oh, he'll be grandfathered back in, surely.
Yeah. Right, so let's go for this youth thing, because it kind of links in a little bit. And it was also the IRB World Championships, which recently concluded, and England won it for a second consecutive year.
Oh, do you know, last year, because is it yearly, the World Championships?
Yeah, it is, right? Yeah.
So last year I watched the first half, I watched a bit of the second half. Wales are tonking England, turned it off, went to the gym and I saw my friend Lee, he's also Welsh. How's it feel to be a world champ, mate? He goes, what? A world champ? No, we lost. So ever since I've not actually watched the Youth World Cup, it's a waste of time.
But England have done it for a second consecutive year, which shows things are pretty rosy at grassroots level. Youth development as well in the Football World Cup has been a bit of a hot topic, with basically the fallout of England not qualifying through the group. And as yet,
they're not qualified.
And as yet, we don't know whether they'll get any points or any victories at all, because the Costa Rica game hasn't happened yet. But lots of people are saying that it's all to do with there's no pathway for the young players coming through, and there's no weapons
so
to play.
So it's nonsense.
So youth development's a big hot topic at the minute. So, and the IRB World Championships has just happened, and players like Fekitoa are coming through. So here's an idea. Let's pick a 15, the best under 23-15 in the world right now, the Spring Chicken 15.
Good idea.
Wowza.
Spring Chicken 15. And you can contribute to this if you listen and there's someone you agree, disagree, or want to suggest someone else. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter is where you can find us.
And also, because we mainly watch English rugby, there's a lot of English players in mine. I've picked a few others from like the international teams.
Any from the Rubbo Pro?
Yeah, there's a couple.
I'm not totally up with exactly all the young players coming through the ITM Cup or
you're not.
No, I'm not. No. So yeah, at Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. So we accept that there will be gaps in our knowledge, and that's where you come in. So let's start in the front row then. Props. Mako Vinipola has got to be in with a shout, hasn't he?
He's 23.
Is he? Does that count as under 23, or are we cancelling him out as a result of that? They have to be 22.
We could cancel him out. I'd go for
September school year.
It's worth mentioning people who are 23 or 24 if we've not got anyone better.
Okay.
How old's Marla? He can't be much older.
I think he's 23 as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not bad, is it?
No, not bad at all.
Northampton's Ethan Waller.
Yeah, I like him.
Well, brother of Alex Waller. So Alex Waller's the one who's been playing mainly and has toured with England. He's 24, but his younger brother's only 21.
Really?
Yeah. So he's definitely one for the future. Leicester's announced today that they've signed Aniseko Seo. He 21-year-old Samoan loosehead. They've signed him straight from a club in Samoa as well. He's not played in
New Zealand or anywhere.
Yeah.
Bet this guy's a monster.
Yeah, he'll be interesting, won't he?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'd go, both of those are 21. Aniseko Seo and Ethan Waller, unless anyone else has got a...
Rodri Jones, I thought, might be worth a shout. He's kind of...
He's got
10 Welsh caps. He's 22.
The guy from McCunliffe? Yeah. I think he's from McCunliffe.
But, I mean, he's not better than... Probably not better than guys we mentioned.
Is he not?
Oh, hold on.
Well, he's got more caps.
Got more caps?
Yeah.
He's just behind two absolute pillars of the world game.
Let's do that then.
Chris, he's my hooker actually. Sorry, so I'm getting confused. See my front rows. Yeah, let's go for them then.
Rodri Jones,
cool.
Hookers,
right. Toulouse.
Yes,
you've got this guy as well.
Who is it? I'm excited. I don't know.
He's got a couple of caps for the French team.
He does.
He's what, 20?
He's 20. I've got him as
Chris Tolofua.
And do you know where he's from? Where he was born?
I'm guessing
Montenegro,
Samoa, Tonga.
Wallis and Futuna.
Where?
Which is a tiny little island, 15,000 population. It's a French colony in the Pacific Ocean.
Of course it is.
And he was born and grew up there until he was like 15, 16, and then was handpicked by Toulouse.
Wow. I knew those colonies would come in handy one day.
Wow. But yeah, he made his debut for France. I didn't realise this until I looked up a bit more about him. 18 years and 1 month old. At a hooker.
Oh, that's incredible.
Only
2 years after being taken on his island.
In the Heineken Cup. In the Heineken Cup, no less.
Ugh.
Wow. So, yeah, there's a few others. Luke Cowan-Dickie of Exeter.
Yeah.
Mike Haywood, who's 23, of Northampton, who's been
Northampton are just a hotbed of young front row. I think they might have got lucky because some of them got injured, so they get to blood them.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've not got a load of old
guys. Let's stick Tolofua in.
Yeah, definitely.
Into the second row. Tighthead. This is the one position I struggled with. I mean, it's one of those positions where you want someone with pedigree and.
Well, Kyle Sinclair, 21.
Oh, yeah.
And Samson Lee, who played very.
I thought he was older than that, Samson.
21.
Lee. Is he really?
He's only 21. I know he looks a lot older than that.
He does.
I want to see a passport, please.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be happy with either of them.
And then he's 23, but he's very much up and coming. Martin Moore of Leinster and Ireland.
Ah.
Who looks like a friend of ours, Pedder.
Oh, he does, yes, yes.
Who listens to the show.
Go on then, pick one of them. I'm happy with any of them.
Samson Lee started an international match against South Africa. Yeah.
And didn't do too bad.
Yeah, I'll go with him. I was impressed.
On. Brilliant. Into the second row. I was going to say these two, I think, pick themselves, don't they?
Courtney Laws?
The one I've got.
I've got three.
Is Courtney Laws? He's surely older than that now.
Yeah, surely.
Eben Etzebeth, surely.
Oh, wow. Is he young?
22?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's a monster.
What a player.
Yeah.
He'd get in any international 15.
Agreed.
And the other one, how old's Brody Retallick? New Zealand second row.
Oh,
yeah.
Courtney Laws is 25. Brody.
23. So he might miss out.
Well, yeah,
I've
got a couple.
Yeah.
So Will Skelton, if either of you saw the Australia-France match,
yep.
Will Skelton is 22, he's 6'8", 21 and a half stone. He scored a try and got an assist at the weekend in his first start for Australia.
Nice.
So he's definitely a contender, although I do think we should give recognition to Mauro Itoje.
Yes, I've got him down. England under 20 played in the World Cup and World Championship final.
He captained England to the under 20 World Championship final.
Really
now, this is the kid, a black kid, right?
Yes.
Who
Jack Berger mentioned.
Jack Berger loves. Jack Berger says that this guy is the man.
Yeah.
When he DM'd me. Yeah. DMs me. Oh, I don't know if anyone noticed Jack Berger mentioned me directly in the tweet. Didn't mention you guys, just me.
So, an honourable mention for him without a doubt. He looks like he's been the start. That pretty much covers it.
The only other one, Johnny Gray, yeah. Who's potentially the player that Richie Gray could have been, but maybe not.
Let's get into the back row then, six. Now, I've got a bit of a left field selection.
Ooh.
Hmm.
And, well, Well, I just have to mention. I just have to mention two words, and then a certain piece of music automatically plays in the background. Jamie Cudmore.
Yeah.
Which is Phil's man crush.
Yes.
Yes.
Go on.
Yes.
You'd love to spend some time in a tent on a mountain, ride up on horseback, bareback, wouldn't you?
Oh yes.
Well, there's another young Canadian who's a full international, plays blindside flanker, who's a bit of a prodigy, and looks like being an absolute star, and a possible new Canadian man crush for Phil, Tyler Arden.
Wow. Let me just find him. Tyler Arden.
Oh, come on. Someone give me some innuendo. Come on.
Topless.
Come on.
Ardron. Tyler Ardron.
Ardron. No, not Arden. That's too easy. You can't be called...
He's actually 23. But he's definitely worth a shout. He's got 13 international caps at age 23. Ospreys have signed him.
Oh, really?
And he was with them for the end of last season. Played 26 minutes in the Heineken Cup against Leinster. But he's...
Oh, by the way, Canada beat USA.
USA beat Canada.
I knew it was one way. It was one way or the other.
Yes.
But he's thought to be kind of a talisman and leader for Canada for many, many years to come. So,
excellent.
6'4" and 18 stone. So, yeah, watch out for that name. But he's 23, so he probably misses out. Who have we got in back row?
Well, I've got a few 23-year-olds as well. I can get a back row of 22 and under. With Ardie Surveyor at 6.
Oh, yes, I've got him.
Who's 20, with Michael Hooper, Australian.
Yes.
He's got 31, he's 22, 31 Australian caps.
Wow.
And he, including, I think, 2 as captain.
Wow. Can I just ask, what has happened to Pocock?
Just repeat injuries.
Yeah. Sam Kane, though, would be a good shout.
Sam Kane as well, yeah.
Is Pocock 22. On the edge of retirement or something then?
Well, he's only like 26, 27. He's still young, Pocock.
I think he's younger than... I thought he was 24. And I thought he was going to be nailed on future captain.
Yeah. Just repeat injuries.
So who would make your number 8 then, Phil?
Julian Galan.
Yes, that's the one I'd have gone for.
Yeah, like who's 22, 6'4", 19 stone.
Let's go with it.
Athletic looking with it as well. Not so much.
Scrum half, is there a...
Looks like he's about to go into hibernation.
Is there a better shout at 9 than TJ Perenara, New Zealand?
Oh, how old is TJ Perenara?
He's 21.
I've never even heard of TJ Perenara.
Yeah, good player. The only one I had was one I mentioned a few weeks ago.
He's 22, I beg your pardon.
Oh, 22. So, yeah, I'd have him then, because the only one I've got was Callum Watson, younger brother of Marcus and Anthony, who's
Watson.
17 or 18.
Have you got 3 caps for the All Blacks?
Yes.
I think you've got to be
let's put him in.
Yeah, it's going to be all right.
Fly half. Now, I think this one picks itself as well. Is there a better young fly half?
Ford, are you going for?
No, Owen Farrell?
Well...
Ford.
There's quite a few. George Ford, Owen Williams, Rhys Pratchell.
Rhys Pratchell's quality. The two lads at Ospreys, one's gone Barry something.
Better than Owen Farrell, though?
Yes.
JJ Harahan of Munster, who scored that fantastic try in the last second to beat Perpignan in the Heineken Cup.
Better than Owen Farrell?
Okay, let's just...
At this stage, maybe they will be in a year or two's time.
Okay, so if you're going to go on, if you're going to play a game tomorrow, who do you want, Owen Farrell or George Ford?
Owen Farrell. If it was an international,
Ford.
He'd kick the goals.
Owen Farrell, given what he's done, is probably, you'd argue, well, he's definitely got the better pedigree given what he's done.
I think Owen Farrell's still getting better, and I think George Ford is still getting better. I just think Owen Farrell's getting better more slowly than George Ford. And I think George Ford has passed him.
But yeah,
I think at this moment, you'd have to pick Owen Farrell of all of the names you mentioned.
Well, he's first choice fly half for England. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but Lancaster's funny, isn't he? He's a weird one.
One or other. You can debate this at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Farrell or Ford, best young fullback on the planet.
Fly half.
Fly half, sorry.
Just one more fly half that I want to give recognition to. Handre Pollard, who was the... South African captain and talisman. So he guided them to the under-20s final.
Yeah,
and he got World Player of the Year, junior World Player of the Year.
Wow.
He's 20.
Winger then. Well, come on, let's just say George North. He's one.
Yeah, George North, 22, 42 caps, 3 caps for the British and Irish Lions. It's unbelievable.
Is he younger or older than Cuthbert?
He's younger.
Is he? How old's Cuthbert? Because he must have to go on the other wing if he's around that age.
I think he might just be a bit too old.
No!
Yeah, I think he is. I thought Christian Wade might work on the other wing. But then you've got loads of wings. You've got Jack Knoll, you've got Gael Ficou.
Gael Ficou in the centre,
Gael Ficou in the centre. But then what about Fekitoa, Bowden Barrett? You got like, this there's really loads. Good
well, shall we
players.
pick our wingers and then we can pick our centres?
Go on, hang on, Beauden Barrett. Wouldn't you put him at fly half?
He could do. He can play 12 fullback.
Is that a more exciting fly half than?
Oh, stop
we've picked
it!
Our, we've picked
stop
our
it! Foul. Charlie Hodgson's not 22.
Maybe we can put Beauden Barrett at fullback.
No, put him at fly half. Can't give it to Farrell.
So well, Marlon Yard, Anthony Watson. Jack Noel.
Oh, there's some frightening players. I don't mind any of those that you just said. I don't mind.
Nathan Earls, who's a young Saracen.
Charles Pietau.
Nathan Earls was nominated for the player of under-20s player of the year.
Wow.
Although obviously didn't win it, lost out to Andre Pollard. Pietau, he's 22.
Got some senior All Black.
Jordan Williams of Wales.
Jordan Williams is an excellent, excellent player.
Is Liam Williams, aren't he young?
I think he's a bit too old.
I think he's been sent. I think Liam Williams has probably been sent to the glue factory.
Back, pick a midfield and an outside. Pick a back. So we've got George North at 11. We've got on your other wing. Who would you pick on your other wing?
Let's go for. I like Anthony Watson. I'd like to see him a bit
above
more
above Christian
white
Wade.
I've seen Christian Wade all season.
Yeah, he's hardly played this season.
That's injury though. Think of,
then
let's go back a year. I think we were more excited about Christian Wade then than we are about Anthony Watson now.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, definitely.
How old's Surveyor?
23, 24.
Yeah, he's a bit older. And so then, who would your midfield be?
Well, any from Jan Serfontaine, who's played 12 for
the DJ.
Really good. He looked really good.
Who's 21? Ollie Devoto of Bath, who's 20. Who's
been... him above Feketoa and Beauden Barrett, who played international rugby for New Zealand.
I'm just listening. He kept out Henson and Eastmond.
Yeah,
from
you don't keep out Henson unless you're a cracking player.
You don't keep out Big Gav.
Yeah.
And Feketoa, shredded England.
Feketoa is 23, though.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Same age as Manu Tuilagi.
Yeah.
Gael Fiku is 20, so I'd probably have him...
Fiku and Barrett, maybe?
With... Or... Well, Beauden Barrett at fullback, Jan Serfontaine at 12.
But Pietau's had international caps for New Zealand as well, and he's...
True.
...play fullback. Oh, there's some good young players.
Oh, Marone.
I've just realised one I've completely forgotten that could be tight ahead. That massive schoolboy Tongan.
Oh, yes. Prop. Is he Tongan?
Taniela Tupu.
No, he's definitely not South African.
Who we posted a video of.
He's like 17 or 18.
17 years old, 138 kgs. And the biggest quads you've ever seen and runs like a winger. Scary.
Yes. Yeah, watch out for him.
Yeah. Oh, good 15. We'll have a little say on what you think at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. But we're going to move from that. Let's have a little light interval after that because we've got more rugby okie. Now, this is a phenomenon that we discovered really early on doing the podcast, which this is the 40th episode today, that rugby players, well, we know we love a sing-song on the bus and stuff, didn't realise that rugby players at international levels and high levels were so keen to sing at every opportunity. And the latest to do that is England, who are auditioning to be the next boy band. Well, there was enough of them doing it, you could probably class them as a choir. But they delivered in stunning fashion, singing a song they prepared a few minutes earlier on the bus when they went to Hamilton.
Sometimes in my life, we all have pain, we all have sorrow. If we are wise, we know that this always...
It's worth pointing out, if you look at the video, and I will tweet it, Kyle Sinclair does not move his mouth once. The others are getting into it. Jeff Parling's getting into it. Johnny May and his unreal tash. He's getting into it.
Awful moustache.
Danny Kerr's the instigator.
It's tomorrow. Lean on me.
Ben Foden.
Of course. Yes. That's why he went on tour.
Obviously, yeah. Ben Foden.
I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. For it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on.
I think it's worth replaying Carl Sinclair's moment there because that was outstanding.
Somebody to lean on.
Yeah! Well done. Well done. Right. Back to important matters. And something else we want you to get in touch with us for is the Fan Free Agency. Now, Phil has retired. Well, not retired from rugby, but you're not playing anymore for the only team you've ever played for.
Lancaster Cats.
Besides Lancaster Cats, the only team I've ever played Fylde. For.
Played Fylde, have you?
No, I played two games for Vale when it. I was at uni up there.
Sedgley Park from mini rugby through to the first team at to Championship, or was it National One?
He's so Sedgley Park.
Yeah. Tier two.
He's so Sedgley Park. If you cut him, he bleeds money.
From mini rugby to tier two, he's a proper club man. I mean, everyone went on about that David Jackson who was playing for Nottingham and stuff. Like, Phil should be regarded in the same light.
Yeah, he's like the David Jackson of Sedgley.
Not quite.
Well, I'd say so.
You know, you man and boy, it's a special thing. It doesn't happen very often.
It takes a big man to go out twice a year and get injured three times. Every year.
Every single year.
So Phil doesn't have a club anymore. He's never, ever supported a team as such. And so we thought this season might be the first season that Phil experiences what it's like to be a fan of a club. What club that is up to you, because you can pitch for your team to become the team that Phil chooses as his side. And you do that by, well, firstly getting in touch via Twitter, and then after JB gets a hold of you and bats forward some emails and whatnot by making your pitch. You have a fan-free agency today, don't you, JB?
I do. And now, there's only one this week.
Okay, JB, go for it.
Okay, well, there's only one this week because I've messed up, so I've not the right emails, but we'll have more next week.
It's not like you to be disorganised,
James. No, it's not.
And that is not JB, like, covering up the fact we don't have any entries. We've got loads of brilliant entries. But JB,
we've got some great ones.
JB's stupidly brought the wrong device with all this information on it. Anyway, crack on.
Okay, so, winning. I like this. I was entertained, although mostly embarrassed, for the Bath fan, who wrote last week listing his side's numerous victories. This team has won the 1995 Premiership title, the 97 Anglo-Welsh Cup, the 99 Premiership title, the 2000 Premiership title, the 2001 Premiership title and Heineken Cup, the 2002 Premiership title and Heineken Cup, the 2007 Premiership and Anglo-Welsh Cup, 09 Premiership title, 2010 Premiership title, 2012 bit of a barren year, Anglo-Welsh Cup, 2013 Premiership title. Who might these be?
So, well, Phil's a glory hunter, so let's just say he's going to be a fan of Leicester Tigers.
Leicester Tigers,
on we go.
Yeah.
Correct, Leicester Tigers. Well done. Okay, first point, he says cheating.
Who is this, by the way, that's got in touch?
This guy is Jacob Howe.
Thank you, Jacob.
Cheers, Jacob. Cheating. Some say cheats never prosper. To correct this, please observe point one. Good point, I would say. Passion. Now he kind of goes on about what about Welford Road. I think this might be a bit of a cliche because Phil, you've been to Welford Road
recently this season.
And what do you think?
I really enjoyed it.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's not the feedback you gave me.
Really enjoyed the first half when we were in the standing area, which was excellent, great atmosphere. But we actually had paid for seats, so we went to the seats in the second half, and we were in the Holland and Barrett stand.
Sponsored by Martin Corrie.
With a lot of Silver Surfers. Everyone in there was like 75 plus.
You told me every time you got up for a beer, people tested at you.
Yeah, people were... And me and Steve, our mutual friend, were sneakily necking a few pints in the stand. And people were turning around and tutting at us.
But I'm gonna defend Welford Road because I went to see my brother play his first ever Premiership match for London Irish against Leicester Tigers about 4 years ago, and I was stood in that, and I forget what they call it, but it's the terraced area in the old stand opposite the brand new huge stand, and the players. There's no more intimidating place to walk out as a player, I would have thought.
Yeah, it's really enclosed,
because,
isn't it?
Because it's all the crowd are so close together, and they get parted just for the team to walk out through the crowd.
Yeah, it's cool.
That's awesome.
We were right in the thick of it. The atmosphere in the ground was excellent. It was packed out 24 or 26,000, whatever it was. So it was really good. Overall, it was a great experience. Mm.
Well,
yeah, got.
He claims here, he doesn't claim, it is true, the capacity is 24,000 and about to be expanded again.
Ooh.
Mostly homegrown players, except for Gonover and Tua Lange. In fact,
Moneypola,
Ayurza,
Steve Maffey.
Yeah, and back in the day, Pat Howard and Lockheed and Dupree.
You can't knock the players they have brought through, not just to the first team, but to international level as well.
Well, to be fair, he says, homegrown families such as the Youngs clan have represented 70 sets of brothers who have played for the club. And underrated players such as Tate. Tate wasn't underrated when he arrived, but okay, fine. Allen, he wasn't underrated either, have also revived their careers at Welford Road. Jordan Crane. Why would you write the words Jordan and Crane on an application? Anyway.
I've got a pros and a cons side for each one of these teams. No, for each one of these teams, does Jordan Crane go in the pros or the cons?
I'm not sure. Jordan Crane. Cons.
Cons.
I would also like to point out, he's not pointing this out, but I will anyway. Sam Vesti, remember him?
Yeah.
I think he was third generation Vesti to play in Leicester first team.
Oh, really?
So that...
I think Matt Smith, his dad, played for Leicester as well. There's quite a few, like you say, that have played year after year. Peter Wheeler, who was a player and an England hooker way back in the day, has been the chairman for a long time, and they do keep that culture of like a family kind of vibe, and I like that.
And they've also got some good traditions, haven't they? Like the ABC club is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'd like Leicester a lot more if they just put the and this Leicester, if you're listening, this is solid feedback. Put the letters back on your backs.
I don't think they're allowed, are they?
No, they're not allowed, but they should. Maybe in the corners or something.
Campaign.
Yeah.
We could start an egg chaser campaign.
On the sleeve, maybe.
Number four is hate. No team has managed to collect as many fierce rivals and still inspire loathing among neutrals quite like Leicester.
Mm.
I like that. That's a pretty dark thing. I like the Oakland Raiders. They're not the Oakland Raiders, for the record. But yeah, it's okay. Of course, it's a good thing. Learn MV. And that's pretty much it. So Leicester Tigers.
There's also that whole kind of thing where players talk about, there are a lot of players that go there. This is what we hear. I don't know if this is true, but people will go there and take less money than they were offered to go to
that
other clubs.
That is very true.
Yeah.
To be at Leicester, because it's a special place to be. And there's also the sort of case where, you know, coaches past and present have sort of said that, you know what, sometimes we have a bit of a problem. The players always sort it out amongst themselves. There's dust-ups in training. It's got forward thinking ways of doing it with the stadium and all the rest of it, but it's got some old school kind of values.
Two changing rooms, I think. Did someone tell me the other day they have two changing rooms, like one for the young players and one for the older heads?
Not sure.
I don't know. Yeah.
And also, Leicester spend their money very well, I think. Like
they've got very good accountants and very good financial planners, very good relationships with local wealthy business owners.
Yeah, well, that's what it's all about. You know, yeah. Talking about community club. Look at all their sponsors; they're all local businesses.
Caterpillar, Next.
Yeah, they're all around the area. So, yeah.
So I need to decide whether I'm going to put them through to the boot room or drop them altogether.
In X Factor style,
send them home.
X Factor has boot camp. We have boot room. Are they through to the boot room where currently Ulster
and
Bath rugby are?
Yes. Now, I do like the kit.
Which you mentioned before.
The home kit.
The home kit, yeah,
The home kit is wonderful. The away kit is an abomination.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Now, can I mention that which might swing you one way or another?
Not for the first time.
Way! Just think about watching Leicester Tigers in your house and having to support the same team as our favourite scrum half.
Come on, that's a low blow, that's a foul play. There's nothing Leicester Tigers can't control the fact
Well,
that
he's from Leicester.
He's not even from Leicester.
Well, he's Leicestershire.
Is it even Leicester? No, it's Warwickshire.
Yeah, it's not even from Warwickshire. You'd have to do that.
Phil, this is your decision.
Yeah, I do like Welford Road. I like being there. I wouldn't be in the Holland and Barrett Stand next time, but I like the atmosphere there. I like that they kind of spend their money wisely. I like the strength of their squad. But I can't condone cheating.
And also, they break the salary cap rules.
See, Neil, back. I know you're listening to the podcast as well. Now, all those years ago, you thought you were well happy getting your Heineken Cup winner's medal, but here's where the chickens come home to roost,
right.
Maybe.
I don't particularly like Jordan Crane.
No one does.
I find Richard Cockerell...
obnoxious. That's what you're looking for.
I don't mind him.
Obnoxious, what a surprise! Annoying. Is there anyone that you don't delight him?
And so, I'm going to send them through. Because the positives outweigh the negatives.
Oh!
So they're through to the boot room.
Well
Such a
done.
Classic Phil decision.
Well done.
It looks like it's done on a spreadsheet.
it was like it was done in X Factor style. I'm sorry, it's not good news. It's great news.
Well done, Tim. I know.
And Leicester Tigers, you are through to boot room. If you and your rugby club you think should be the one, and like I say, Phil has never supported a team before, and he's going to learn. And on the podcast, you're going to hear exactly what it feels like for Phil to become a fan of a team, and he will throw himself fully into it. We're talking going to games. We'll do podcasts from the games. He'll buy a shirt. He'll genuinely take an interest. He'll sign up on the forum and comment with fellow fans.
I signed up to a forum once to the Oral Supporters Club, who were affectionately known as the Tossers or something. The Oral Supporters, something.
Okay, yeah.
Something other. I was a member of them for about 6 months.
Get in touch with us at Rugby Podcast on Twitter if you would like your club to be considered, if you think you've got enough in your locker to talk about your team, and doing so as well, because what we're also doing is collecting the details of everyone that we speak to, and then we've got kind of our correspondence for all these
clubs
as well.
Can I just say, it's not going to make it into the Superfan applications, but we've got a wonderful application for you to support USA Rugby.
Yeah, we should go into that in more detail next week.
Yes, and we are going to look into that in much more detail, because I think USA Rugby is fascinating, and I've got some awesome stories about USA Rugby.
Excellent.
Good pod, guys. Good pod. Thank you very much for downloading. Thanks for listening. And at Rugby Podcast is where you can catch us for any reaction to the podcast you just heard. And see you next time. Nice one, JB.
Cheers, Tim.
Good work, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.